In our increasingly busy lives, we often talk about trying to squeeze something in or schedule a time for. It just seems like we're living event to event or practice to practice, but we've missed out on the ability to enjoy the moment. During Making Room, we'll talk about how to carve out space for the most important things in your life so that you can breathe. Life shouldn't be lived at 100 miles an hour. So let's make some room to enjoy it.
You know, each and every week we try to give you something that you can take. We call it our big idea, the thing that you can kind of take. And if you forget everything else that is said, hopefully you'll remember it or remember at least part of it. And so today we're going to start with a big idea. It's nothing life-shattering. It's nothing, you know, wow, so profound. It's really very simple. Healthy relationships require quality time. They just do. Healthy relationships require quality time. You cannot expect to have healthy relationships, whether it's family or friends or whatever. You cannot expect to have healthy relationships without the investment of quality time. It's just not going to happen. Just like you can't learn to know more of who God is and what He wants for you without spending time with God, you cannot learn to know your family. You cannot learn to know those that you would consider close friends or even family, even though they're not related to you. You cannot connect with them better until you begin to spend quality, necessary time with them. Now, we're going to begin this morning with a passage in the book of Deuteronomy, Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Bible. It's written by a guy named Moses. Moses was the prophet of God who was also the leader of the nation of Israel. And God would speak to him, and he went up to Mount Sinai, and you know, he was one that had the Ten Commandments and all that stuff. And just an amazing, amazing individual that God used but had major flaws just like all of us do. And in Deuteronomy, he conveys this unbelievable thing that the first part we kind of miss sometimes, we focus on one part or the other. And I want to kind of fit it all together this morning and really look at it the way that Moses said it. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. And he says, listen, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Now pause for just a second. He's getting ready to talk about how necessary it is for you to impress these things on your children. But he begins with this. He says, first, if you want to make a difference in the lives of the people around you, if you want to make a difference in the lives of your children, if you want to impact them, you must first have your priorities in line. You've got to first love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. If you don't love God first, if He's not the priority in your life, if there are other things in your life that are stealing the time, then the reality is you're never going to make the quality time. You're never going to do the things necessary to impress those things on your kids because they're not in your life. You're never going to connect with them the way that God wants you to connect with them because you've not connected with God the way that He wants you to connect with Him. So it goes back to last week. In fact, it's interesting. If you find yourself in a place where you're like, man, I just don't seem to have time for my family, it's probably because you've allowed something to take the place of God in your life. It's either that promotion that you're looking for, the new toy that you're trying to buy that you're working 10 times for, or now that you've got the new toy, you're going to spend all sorts of time with because, I mean, hey, you've spent so much money on it, you might as well spend time with it. Or all these different things that become the first priority of your life. And so because of that, what suffers is the quality time that God anticipates, expects, desires, and we're going to see in just a minute, commands you to have with your family and your kids. So I want to notice what he says next. He says, impress them upon your children. Impress them upon your children. Now, it doesn't mean that your kids sit back and they're like, wow, I am so impressed. You are so godly, Dad, Mom. I'm so impressed. No, that's not what it means. Those of you that are a decade or so younger than me, you may not know what this is. But there was this thing when I was growing up. It was called Silly Putty. Y'all remember Silly Putty? They remember Silly Putty at all? Okay, it was putty that was silly, okay? So silly putty. And it came in this little egg, right? And you broke it open and it was like beige. It was like awkwardly skin colored, which anyways, we'll not go there. But you would take it out and you could roll it in a ball and you could drop it on the ground and it would bounce. And it would bounce like once or two times, then it would go flat. It would be like going all over the place and everything. But there was this really cool thing that you could do with silly putty. Now, I'm going to take you on a historic journey for just a second. There was this thing back in the old days called a newspaper. And it would have news, and it was a paper. And in that newspaper, on Sunday mornings, there was this thing called comic strips, okay? And it would be usually two or three pages of paper, and it was comics that were all colored in and were all brightly colored. And you could take this silly putty, and you could flatten it out, and you could put it on top of the comic strip in the newspaper, and you could push down really, really hard. And when you peeled it back, do you know what would be on the back of that silly putty? It would be the comic strip. Because what you did is you took the silly putty and you impressed it upon the comic, and when the silly putty was pulled off, it was so impressed onto the silly putty that when you pulled it off, the comic was onto the silly putty. That's essentially what God is saying He wants you to do with your kids. He wants you to spend so much time with your children that when they walk out of your presence, they are impressed or marked with who you are. That's why it's so important to begin with, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Because they're going to walk away, if you do this, impressed with who you are and what your relationship with God is like. And that will mark them for the rest of their life. He goes on to say, and he gives some specifics. He said, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Now, we don't really sit at home and talk anymore, do we? Think about it. When's the last time, especially if you have kids or teenagers, when's the last time you all gathered into your home and without cell phones or TV or computers or anything like that, sat around and talked? You're like, who would want to do that? That would be awful. But Moses says, listen, when you get inside your home, spend some time actually talking, engaging with one another, having conversations. And in that conversation, engage your kids with what's going on in their lives about God. Talk about the things that God's doing in your life. Now, it's not like you sit them down and you go, okay, let's begin with the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to go into all the details and how God created ex nihilo. That's Latin for out of nothing. And, you know, it just means you're engaging them in conversation. And in that conversation, you do that. So maybe you need to set a time in your family calendar and you need to go, listen, we need to get a box or a jar or something where the phones go on silent and go in there and we sit around in a circle for a half hour. And if we just stare at each other, we just stare at each other. It'll get really awkward until somebody starts talking. But maybe you need to do that because you need to spend time talking. And then he says, when you walk along the road. Now, we don't really walk anywhere anymore, but we do drive in a car. Now, I remember when our girls were little, they're 20 and 17 now, but when our girls were really little, we had these things called car seats, and they were from hell. Have you ever experienced a car seat? Those of you that have car seats now, they're easy. They're easy compared to what we dealt with. I'm not like the old man going, I walked uphill too. No, I'm just saying, these things were awful. They were engineered by someone who had never dealt with a screaming two-year-old ever in their life. And it's like you had to do this and connect this and do this and slap this across. And then you would put them in there, and then you'd realize that you missed a button, and you had to take them all the way back out and reset the whole thing. And so when you're in your car, after you've done this, and I'm sure you're very calm at this point in time, after you've transitioned and got them in the car, turn off the radio, take the iPad out of their hand, and talk to them. That's what he's saying. When you're traveling somewhere, when you're going somewhere, have a conversation. Say, hey, tell me what you learned today. You know, let me see what's going on in your life. Have a conversation. You don't need to go into the deep end of the pool and go, hey, listen, in Revelation chapter 3, God talks about how he comes to the seven churches. No, just talk to them. Engage them. Impress upon them. And then he says two things. He says, when you lie down at night, If you have small children at home, I want to challenge you. In fact, I would almost to the point of saying, you've got to do this. If you can, if at all possible, you've got to tuck your kids in every night. And by tucking your kids in, I mean like tucking them in and then teach them how to pray. That's one of the things that Tracy and I did all through their growing up years until they really got into middle school and stuff. And then we're just like, hey, you guys can do it on your own now. But it's literally just getting down and talking to them for a little bit, praying for what's on their heart, and then letting them pray a little bit, teaching them how to pray. This is really important for them to understand and see you do. You're like, pray, hyperventilating. Because you're like, I don't know how to pray. It's really, really simple. It starts with, dear God, yada, 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 in Jesus' name, amen. That's how it goes. It's really simple. You're like, well, what's the important stuff in the middle? What is that? You just talk to God about the stuff that's going on. It's just a conversation. Maybe you can say, you know, dear God, thank you so much for Johnny. I love him so much. But God, you know, remind him that today he was really naughty. And tomorrow he needs to be better. Or mommy and daddy might be very disappointed in him for the rest of their life. You know, just things like that that you can do to impress upon these children. But here's why you do that. Because you are connecting with them. You're teaching them. You're growing them up in your faith as you do that. And then he says, and as you rise up in the morning. Again, for years until the girls got older, we would always, they'd sit down at the island and they would eat breakfast. And it's funny, when I made breakfast, the girls really, really liked it because dad's breakfast is like bacon with brown sugar sprinkled over it and then like fried, you know, everything's fried, you know, fried potatoes with some salt and pepper and ketchup and oh, it was awesome. That's what I would make. And you know, so they really liked that. I always got in trouble when Tracy would come and be like, what are you eating them? They're going to have heart attacks by the time they're 14. Well, they're 17 and 20, so it's okay. But then you would just spend a couple minutes asking them about how they slept, talk to them and engage them about God, get their brains thinking about God. What did you read in your devotions last night? And you just talk to them about that. You're like, man, I can't do that. Our days are crazy. You know what? Get up 5 minutes earlier. I know, that sounds crazy, but ask yourself, is 5 minutes less sleep worth setting your kids up for a lifetime of engagement with God? Plan the night before, whatever it takes, engage your kids because God wants you to impress these things on their heart. So you go, I don't know how in the world that stuff is even possible. Well, that's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to give you three things that you need to do so that you can begin to make the room necessary for family, friends, relations around you. The first thing you need to do is you need to coordinate your schedules. You need to coordinate your schedules. Now, if you're Apple people, you can connect on the iCloud, whatever it is. You can connect on Cozy. If you're like, no, we are paper household, you can print it out each month and doodle in everything. You can just slap it on the refrigerator because everyone knows where everyone is. It is so important to know what people are doing in your household. It's so important to connect and be on schedule because if you don't do that, then you can never plan, which is one of the things we're going to talk about later. You can never look at it and go, okay, based upon what we have in our calendar, we need to do X, Y, Z to be able to make sure that we have made room for family. And look at what it says here. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says this. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? That's such a simple verse, isn't it? Can two people walk together unless they agree on the direction? Now, just process that for a second. You are trying to, as a family, hopefully, move in the same direction. Yet, so many families never take 2 seconds to stop and make sure they're all on the same page. Moms and dads, you need to sit down and make sure you're on the same page. Calendar, schedules, everything. Make sure you're on the same page. Make sure the goals that you're going for as a family are actually the goals that the two of you agree on. Make sure that your kids understand what those goals are. Make sure that your kids realize that they matter so much that you will actually make room in your calendar for them because they matter more than the job. They matter more than the softball game or the football game or whatever. They matter more. And you tell them that by coordinating your schedules. The second thing, and this is really where kind of the rubber begins to really hit the road, you're going to look at your calendar probably and go, man, there's just not room. That's when you begin to eliminate if necessary. You begin to eliminate if necessary. Maybe you're like, man, we seem to be at home all at the same time, but we're never engaging. Okay, eliminate. Turn off the TV. Turn off the phones. Sit in the same room together. Have a meal at a table where the TV is not on and the radio is not on, where you can hear the person next to you chew and have a conversation. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Keep the cell phones away, but engage. Eliminate the things that are necessary. Maybe you need to get a little more radical. I don't know when it happened in our culture in America, but at some point in time in our culture, you started getting awards and started being told how great of a parent you were based upon how many activities you had your kid involved in. And I find it amazing because really, when you think about it, it's like you're taking your kids and giving them to someone else so that you don't have to deal with them. But somehow that's, you know, calling you a good parent. And we have so bought into that, that we've got our kids involved in a soccer game in the morning, football practice in the afternoon, Sunday after church, they've got marching band, and they've got choir, and they've got this, and they're involved in all these activities, and they're running around like chicken with their heads cut off. And oh, by the way, that means you're driving them everywhere like a chicken with your head cut off. And you're like, I just don't understand why we're not close as a family anymore, because you need to eliminate some things. Now, I'm not saying extracurricular activities are bad, because we always encouraged our girls to be involved in something. Thing being the operative word. It's not things. It's thing. Find a thing that you like and then pursue it with passion. Instead, we've just immersed our kids in all these experiences, but we've left them empty of the most important thing, which is a relationship with you. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ had been teaching and preaching, and he comes to the house of a woman and her sister and her brother, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And he comes into the house, and he begins to teach. And so everyone's gathered in the living room area, and Jesus is teaching, and Mary, who I always think is the younger sister, I don't know why, but Mary, the younger sister, is sitting in there listening to Jesus teaching. And Martha, because, hey, she's Martha, and she, you know, she cooks good, and that's her thing, is in the kitchen cooking and preparing a meal for all these people that just showed up unexpectedly. Isn't that awesome when people show up at your house unexpectedly and want to eat? This is the pressure that Martha is feeling. She's like, I've got to do this. I've got to get this done. And she's in the kitchen by herself, doing it all by herself, while her younger sister, who always got everything growing up, just adding that in, is sitting out there doing nothing, just listening to Jesus talk. Watch this. Luke 10, 40 and 42. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing, and she came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair? I love that. I'm just saying, Jesus, don't you think it might be a little unfair? She's hanging out here, sitting and listening, and I'm working. Don't you think it's unfair that I have to do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Man, tell her to come help me. Tell her to get up off of her butt, her lazy thing. Just get in there and start doing what she's supposed to be doing. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha. I can almost imagine, picture it in my mind. He like reaches over and pats her on the shoulder. Martha, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. This is something I think as a parent you need to do on a regular basis. You need to really ask the question, is this the best thing? Is this the best thing? Or is it just a busy thing? Is your child going to remember that when they were 4 years old, they paid, you know, flag football or soccer, you know, or what I like to call a whole bunch of two-year-olds running around in a big ball on a field? Or are they going to remember the time that you spent with them, tucking them in bed at night, or having a conversation about something that really doesn't matter? And yet, those are the things that are going to make a difference in their lives that we sacrifice for stuff that's easy. So my challenge to you, especially if you are a parent and you have kids still at home, really begin to look hard at the things that you're doing. And ask the question, are some of the things that you're doing really moving you away from the goal that God has for you of impressing those things on your children? Number three, not only coordinate your schedule, but eliminate if necessary, and then plan it out. Plan it out. All the spreadsheeters, you can rejoice. This is for you. All the people that love planning and spreadsheets and all that stuff, they're like, holla, yes, this is exciting. Plan it out. Because here's the thing, if you don't start planning, it'll never happen. It just never will. Once you've coordinated your schedule, like, okay, we need to eliminate some things, and you begin to really focus, and you begin to really look, and you go, okay, we need to plan some family time. Vacations don't plan themselves. You're like, oh, okay, we're going to plan a vacation. What are we going to plan a vacation for? We're going to plan a vacation for here. Okay, then you have to ask the question, how much is that going to cost? How much money do we have to set aside each month to be able to do that? There's all this planning that has to go into it because you want to be able to engage and get away and spend time with your family. If you don't plan to do these things, it will never happen. But if you plan, and the reason that you're planning is because you want to celebrate your family, you want to engage with your family, you want to do what God has called you to do, then God will actually step in and create moments and opportunities for you to engage. Look at this, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 through 6. Use wisdom and understanding to establish your home. In other words, take some time. Take a deep breath. Think about it. Plan out how you are going to live and establish your home, your family. Let good sense fill the rooms with priceless treasures. Wisdom brings strength, and knowledge gives power. Battles are won by listening to advice and making a lot of plans. I'm not really in a battle. Yeah, you are. Every single day, you are in a war for your family. You don't believe it? Ladies, every single day, your husband is bombarded by things that would tempt, drag, or pull him away further from your family and you. Men, every day, your wife is attacked with images and ideas and thoughts that would cause her to disregard the family unit, disregard you as her husband. Every day your kids are pulled on and beat on and things are beaten into them that would tell them that the family doesn't really matter, that God isn't real, that mom and dad don't know what they're talking about, all these things. If you don't recognize that you are in a battle and start planning things to help your family and help your kids learn who God is, the battle is already lost in your home. But the exciting part is this. If you're willing to plan, I want you to notice what happens. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. If you're willing to get serious about changing and developing deeper relationships with your family, with those around you, and you begin to evaluate your schedule, you begin to coordinate those things, and you eliminate the things that maybe they're not necessarily bad, but they're not necessary, or they pull away from what God really would want you to do as an individual, what you want for your kids that you think God will want for them, and you begin to plan those things out, then God says that He steps in and He begins to make a way where maybe there wasn't a way before. He begins to break down the walls that are standing in your way from keeping and doing that. He begins to provide opportunities and moments where you can connect and impress these things upon your children so that they will grow up and be all that God has called them to be. What are you doing with the 3,000 potential hours of influence that God gives you every single year with your kids? I want to end with, and I don't want this to be a scare tactic in any way, shape, or form, so I want to be very upfront about that, but I want to give you the facts. Several years ago, Columbia University wanted to discover if there were any links between teenager and young adult issues that they have and family life. And so they went through all these different things, all these different equations, trying to find connections, right? And they had several hundred kids that they followed from like junior high all the way into their early 20s, and they tried to do this, and it was sponsored actually by the Health and Human Services. And they began to try to do all these things and try to figure out the commonality of what the things were. And one of the things that they came up with, in fact, that one of the most defining things in resulting in showing whether or not a kid went a certain direction or not, was whether or not they spent significant amount of time each and every week with their family. And they actually boiled it down even more than that. They said, you know, here's what we see as the key, the defining kind of moment, the crux of which everything kind of turns on, is whether or not they spent time with their family, specifically eating dinner with their family. And that these kids that on a regular basis, 3 to 5 times a week, would eat dinner with their family, kind of gathered around their table, they were less likely to be involved in all sorts of issues and all sorts of problems. They got better grades in school. They got into better colleges. They had better relationships. They had better marriages. They were better parents, better husbands, better wives. It was an amazing thing. And then on top of that, they said, when we looked at those kids that did not have that on a regular basis, those kids were 24% more likely to be engaged in marijuana or some type of drug. Those kids were 32% more likely to be involved in some type of tobacco use. And those kids were 45% more likely to have engaged, being involved, or actually addicted to alcohol. All because of family time. They didn't base it on socioeconomic status, how much mom and dad made. They didn't base it on the neighborhood that they lived in. They didn't base it on whether or not they played sports or whether or not they had activities or whether or not they were popular in school, whether or not they made certain grades when they were growing up. They didn't base it on anything except for that criteria, and that's how significant that it was. What are you doing with the 3,000 hours that God gives you each year? My challenge would be that you start making room for your family, so you can impress on them who God has called them to be. Father, we thank you for our families. We thank you for those who are close to us, that we would even consider them as family. We thank you, God, for the opportunity as moms and dads to be engaged with, to help our children grow up. God, the honor, yet the heavy responsibility that you give us to impress upon them. God, we're all flawed. We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. God, I pray that in this area we would be intentional. That maybe even today as we go home, we begin to look at our calendars and we begin to say, hey, we need to eliminate some things. We need to plan for some things because this is way too important to leave to chance. God, I pray that we would begin intentionally praying about our kids and our friends that we would allow to be close to us. That we would start being an encourager. We would start being one that lifts up. And that, God, we would really understand that to have healthy marriages, healthy families, healthy relationships, it takes quality time. And God, for quality time to happen, it's got to be intentional. We thank you for that. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.